Hi, folks. You are listening to the Swingin' Blues Show here on Thursday night. This is a great event and great guests tonight. And just stand by, folks. We're going to play a tune while we get settled in here. And welcome aboard. As my good friends say, keep it locked in. And a big thank you out to our previous guest, Natty from Pressure Drop. Okay, folks, we'll be right back. We'll play a tune. We're back, and welcome aboard, folks. We're at the Swingin' Blues Show here on Thursday night. This is episode number 56, and welcome aboard. And tonight, great times, Amy.
Hey, Jeff. How's it going?
Good. I'm good, and you look good, and everything is
good. I always
good.
Look good.
That's
right.
True. And Martin, it's good to see you.
Oh, thanks. It's good to be back.
Yeah, I hope you tell some good stories of what's going on with you and all the great exchanges you were had over the last year or so, and so that'll be good fun, I think.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, and we're going to have another guest show up a little bit later on, and we'll play some more tunes here, and we have our announcements as usual, and I guess we'll just probably just put right along here. That was a song by Claude Fiddler Williams, and I kind of did that in tribute to a lot of you I know Django Reinhardt, who plays a lot of fiddle music his stuff. But this is a fiddle player I really like, so I thought I'd play that one, and that's the song is called The Smooth One. All right, and so we'll look forward to some songs by Amy as well. I hope you've got your gizmo there, I see.
I've got a little bit of stuff, yeah.
You'll have to come back and sit beside me here. You've had a great lesson tonight, I hope.
It was awesome. Good. Yes, we're in week 4, so next week will be week 5, and we're just working away with our little, I call them my blues babies, because today we started actually moving, like we're not just going side to side now, so now we're taking steps, and so we've taken our first baby blues steps tonight.
Nice.
It was fun. Yeah, it was good. They did excellent.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. And, you know, I'm sure they later on the show we'll talk a little bit about that teacher-student interaction when Anne gets here. And it'll be great if you're I'm sure you'll be still here, and we'll have a little discussion about that, too.
So, sounds good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So let's talk to Martin while he's here, and we'll get into a little bit more about the... What are you going to call your segment here, Amy? The Seven Wonders of Exchanges, right?
Yes.
Oh, beautiful.
That is correct.
It'll be so much fun. Let's talk to Martin and tell us, Martin, you... just give us a little quick story about, you know, your history in the scene here and the trip you came back from, and then we'll talk a bit more then about the actual exchanges you were at. So
you've
been a longtime member here in the scene?
Yeah, I've been here a little while. Like, the past year I haven't been around much. I've been traveling, like you said, but I moved to Waterloo. Must have been, I don't know, 8 years ago I moved here, something like that. 7, 8 years ago I moved. And so I've been dancing in town with the group since then.
I remember
then.
When you first moved here, actually.
Yeah.
That was fun. Yeah. Anyway,
yeah,
go on.
Yeah, dancing, I think Dancing in the Park was the first one I went to.
Oh, good.
It would have been, because I moved here September, start of the year.
And your hair was very different.
Yeah. Actually, it's funny. When I moved here, I'd been cutting my hair short. Like, I've been shaving my head for, like, probably a year or something before I moved here.
Oh, okay.
And then when I moved here, I just stopped cutting my hair altogether for years, right?
Okay. Yeah, and your beard, and you got all those, like, braids, yeah. And that was kick-ass.
Yeah, well, I was from the West Coast, you know.
I remember the braids. Yeah.
Right? He was the cool guy with the braids.
He's still the cool guy.
No.
Now he's just the cool guy without the braids.
Yeah, some people might beg to differ, but anyways.
Those are not good people.
All right, well, we'll talk about them later.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's your beginnings, and you've, I don't want to carry on your story, but I do remember you've taken up a leadership role at one time with running classes and also in running in a scene and in the performance group, too.
Yeah, I've been kind of doing a bunch of things on and off. I mean, I was just dancing socially and that sort of thing for a while, and then, I eventually got to the point where it was good to pitch in and do some of the legwork and stuff around the scene. So I started helping out, started organizing some stuff, doing with the monthly dances and stuff like that back in the day. Well, I don't know, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, something like
that. Not that long ago, has it been?
Well, it's been a while now.
You know what? It might be that long ago now.
Maybe 4 or 5 years ago.
Oh, my gosh.
But yeah, we had the monthly dances, at that time going in the format we were using. So I was helping out with that, and then even before that, we started a bit of like a practice group, and that evolved into like a performance sort of group.
Mm-hmm.
So we're kind of practicing together every week and started performing around town here and there and, at the Blues Festival and stuff like that.
So you're already a pretty committed dancer by that stage. And,
yeah. Well, you get sucked in, right? Like you're kind of socially doing it, and then, people need help. It's a lot of work to run everything, right? So even if you can work the door or whatever, put up flyers, stuff like that, then, it's good to help out. And then sometimes people start doing more after that. So
just
kind of how it goes. So I did that, and then we were at Cesar Martini's for a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
And teaching lessons as well as like the performance group, then that evolved into actually doing like formal lessons, weekly lessons, and that sort of thing. And then over the past year, I haven't really been doing much actually, but partly because I've been traveling and stuff like that, like you said. So
We're really lucky in the scene, though. Back in your partner there, Jeff Benoit, started with Kristen and a few of the others, and then Martin and Angie stepped in for a while, and Dave was returned from his trips and got involved, and he's pretty well running a lot of things nowadays. So we're very lucky to have a very talented crew of volunteers who are taking the turns running the scene. It's great.
Yeah. I mean, the people who are kind of do the main organizing, it's a lot of work for them, but even just for the volunteers and stuff too, you really have to have them.
Mm.
Like, you can't run stuff with one or two people. You really need everyone to pitch in. So
you did a lot of volunteer work. You did a lot from the you did everything too, ain't you?
Well, there was a lot of days where I hung up flyers. I remember one time. Oh my gosh, I am not the kind of person that likes to just like do a little bit here and there. Like, I'd rather just get it done, right? And I remember one time specifically when I was living with Kristen, I was hanging flyers, and this is before I had a car, and it was in the middle of the winter, so I couldn't bike and do it. So I was out for 4.5 hours in February. I got home. I had like frostbite on my legs. And Kristen's like, "You got to go in the bath. Like, this is crazy." I just wanted to get it done.
You guys lived up the corner of Herb and Westmount.
Yep.
There. Yeah. I remember that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That was a good. That was fun. Long time ago. Wow. But yeah, I did my fair share of all that grunt work and everything, and did the Hoother for a while. That was fun.
Yes, you did for a year or two, I think, right?
About 2 years, I think it was.
Yeah, it was a while.
So, mind you, just give our, we're going to talk about the exchanges you were at, but just quickly tell our listeners, the trip you were on and a few of the things you did, and then we'll talk a bit more about the business of swing dancing and the exchanges you were at. But tell us when you left and what you did for how many, 4 or 5 months anyway?
Longer. Yeah, it was, it's been a while. I mean, I left end of November last year, I left. And I basically, I arranged with work. I took leave for a while. I told them I wanted to go travel. So I set it all up, left work and in November. And basically, I was just going around Asia for a while. So I took, it was probably 7 months in the end. And I visited, I don't know, 8 or 9 countries, something like that.
Yeah.
And just I'd never been to Asia before, right? So I went, tried to see everything. Well, everything, whatever you can see in 7 months.
What's
so.
Asia like?
Oh, it's good. I mean, it's...
what's That's Asia a loaded like? Question. What's it, yeah.
Oh, it's
was
the
it,
same.
Was it like, was it crowded? Was there a dance scene at all?
Well, dancing there was some, not as much, but they had some. A lot of it's relatively new compared to here. they hear that you have some cities, like even Waterloo isn't like a big, big city, but there's been dancing here for like, I don't know, 12 or 14 years or something. Mm-hmm. Since Jeff and the others, you know, started with the university club.
Jeff is getting old.
Well, you know, time flies, right?
I'm getting old too. But yeah, so there's a little bit of dancing there, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, it depends a lot on the country. So like a lot of the time I was around Thailand and that area. And so it's really not so developed there. Like some places are a little bit, but I was also in Japan and Korea, and there it's more like here to some extent. Right. And so the dancing is kind of similar as well. Like I found dancing in Tokyo and Osaka, they had dancing.
Okay.
And so both of the scenes there were like not too different than here. They're a bit smaller, actually, surprisingly, because Tokyo is like huge, right? Ridiculous. Mm-hmm. But the scene there was pretty friendly, Osaka as well. And then I was in Korea, and actually Korea, of all places, right, that you would expect, Korea has the largest group of swing dancers in the world.
Wow.
In Seoul. Yeah.
Wow. Really? I wouldn't have guessed that.
No, I mean, who would guess, right, compared to New York, compared to Seattle, anywhere, right?
Yeah. Well, give our listeners an idea. So we're talking about like probably like a weekly dance, but instead of having, you know, 50 people, are we talking in the hundreds then for their weekly?
Well, they would have... The thing is, it's not like they don't have one weekly dance. Every night you could go dance two or three places. Wow. Some like on Saturday, you could probably go to five or seven different places
dancing. Oh,
and
really?
Each of those places could, I mean, the place that I went, because I only went, I ended up being there one night in Seoul itself that I could go dancing. And there was probably like, you know, 120, 150 people at this one place, right? And that was like a Wednesday night, not even Saturday, right?
That's insane.
So, but, you know, apparently in Seoul they have like, I don't know, I think 10,000 swing dancers, something like this in Seoul. It's ridiculous. Crazy, right?
That is crazy.
Yeah. But, and they're good too. I mean, not all of them, right? But like, it's a good level there, obviously, with so many people, and they learn quickly. They have a lot of role models and stuff like this.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good point. If you have a lot of people around, it does help. Maybe you're learning quicker because you see a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
And the excitement.
And almost like more competitive. Not that swing dancing is competitive, but you want to be better,
you
right?
You kind of feed off each other.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
There's sort of that vibe. I mean, partly, actually, I learned one other reason, which is kind of funny because that's different from here. And probably like the same as when Amy's teaching, that you have students in your class, and after a couple of weeks, you tell them to start going out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like go to the Monday dance or whatever, right? Because then you can practice, socialize, and you kind of get into it a bit more, right?
Mm-hmm.
In Korea, I found that the socially, it's kind of different. That often people who are new will take lessons for like months. Like they'll take lessons for probably a year without ever going out.
Wow.
To a weekly dance.
That's kind of like, well, calling my fiance. He doesn't want to do, like, when he first started taking classes, he would, he didn't want to go out until, like, he knew what he was doing, right? And it's like, but Colin, like, I think the best, Graydon, actually, you guys remember, obviously, Graydon. The best way he described it to me was, you learn the language of dance in the class, but you speak it when you go out dancing.
Right.
That was so cool. So profound. Graydon. Oh, he's so profound.
Yeah, I can see him saying that.
Right?
Oh, it's pretty much like that. I mean, I think partly it's like a cultural thing that they want to be good at it, at least to some extent, before they go out and show it. Like, not really an embarrassment thing, but just kind of a cultural standard in some ways.
Wow.
That people want to kind of, I don't know, not put themselves out there so much, you know, that people, if you've been dancing for a couple of weeks, you might feel a bit nervous or whatever, right?
It's kind of like a special club in a way.
Yeah, I guess so. So you kind of like, I mean, you can go whenever, but I think they have the tendency not to as long. So when I went out in Seoul dancing that night, a lot of the, like I saw very few like beginners, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like dancers that for sure you look at them or dance with them and you know they've been dancing like a month or whatever, right? Mm-hmm.
So would you say the dancing in Korea is similar to here? Like the feel, like do they do the same timing? Is it the same feel?
Yeah, it was, I mean, it was
you're doing
similar.
Lindy Hop?
Yeah, Lindy Charleston, stuff like that. Yeah, and it was a Lindy Hop night.
Well, that's
basically
a good question. Like here in Waterloo, it's more bluesy, but I know a lot of scenes are true to the roots of Lindy, and it's more like Charleston, very... Jelly Roll Morton, really a fast music. And
yeah.
How does the career scene fit? Are they more traditional, or are they sort of like got a little bit of that blues feel of Waterloo or Seattle or something?
Not so bluesy, but again, yeah. It depends on the venue, right? Like there's so many venues.
Yeah.
That, I mean, I was just talking to the dancers, right? And some of them like certain venues because the music is a certain way.
Right.
Right. So like the one that I was at was pretty kind of average music. So it was like medium speed, Lindy, kind of Count Basie.
Like we're talking like 120-ish?
Probably faster than 120, but it would be like 140 to 180. There was maybe a little quicker stuff, but not
180 is
quick.
Pretty, that's getting
that's
up
pretty
there.
Fast.
So yeah. It was getting like, it was getting quick, but not like crazy fast.
Yeah. Right, right.
So it was kind of like an average mix, right? Not but like, it wasn't super yeah. bluesy either, right? Like other places
that's a good,
I think is more.
Yeah, it's a good pocket.
It's more bluesy, so.
So let's play a few stationaires and a few things, folks, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about the Seven Wonders Exchanges that Martin has firsthand experience at, of course, that he was... How many exchanges did you go to when you were on your trip?
On the trip, I went to two.
Two, okay.
Yeah, and a perfect. Few other, you know, other events, but exchanges there were two. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, folks, it's your host, Jeff Steger. With me tonight is my guest, Amy Nyland and Martin Hansen, and you listen to 100.3 Sound FM, the Swingin' Blues radio show. And you'll be listening to us either on the air to 100.3 or on Sound FM on the internet or on the Rogers Box 946. We'll play a few tunes and we'll be right back. And we're going to start off with 40 Cups of Coffee by Ella Mae Morris and a few promos. And we'll be right back and we'll ask our lovely Miss Amy to lead our next section.
Oh, okay.
Lovely. Okay,
better
here we
be
go.
Ready.
Here we go back.
And start to combing out my hair. I drink 40 cups of coffee. 40 cups of coffee. 40 cups of coffee waiting for you to come home. A quarter to 12, you're still not in. The way you run around is the dark on the sin. I drink 40 cups of coffee, 40 cups of coffee, 40 cups of coffee waiting for you to come home. A quarter to 3, I start watching the clock. The phone won't ring, so I'm waiting for your knock. I drink 40 cups of coffee. 40 cups of coffee. 40 cups of coffee waiting for you to come
Monday night at Hepcats, the joyful sounds of swing jazz and blues music is played by local live bands or DJs. They will keep you dancing all night long starting at 9 p.m. Enjoy an introductory dance lesson starting at 8:30 p.m. included in the cover price. Hepcats is located at 42 Herb Street East, Waterloo. Please use the side door entrance. For more information, visit www.hepcathoppers.ca.
Shady Nook Farms, raising all-natural cattle with care. Now, your local food source for beef, we have whole sides, half sides, hamburger, and summer sausage, and freezer packs. Locally raised and prepared, visit our website at shadynook.ca.
We're back, folks, and you're listening to 100.3 Sound FM, CKMS Radio. It's the Swing Jazz and Blues show here on Thursday night. This is episode number 56.
Something up there.
Yeah, episode 56. We had our one-year anniversary there back. Well, we had two anniversaries. The 50th show, and then 2 weeks later was the actual calendar. Yeah, so it's been just been a great blast. We're so lucky. We had a lot of people come out, various capacities, guests as hosts, and we've had a lot of fun with this show, and we're looking forward to another go at it here. It'll be lots of fun. And it's so much fun when Amy comes on because she has some great topics. And I'd like to invite you, Amy, if you want to go ahead and give us our... Are we starting at the bottom of the list of stuff or at the top?
We're going to start at the bottom.
Okay.
Or do you want to start at the top?
No, bottom. We got to count down.
Right?
Yeah,
I agree.
Sure.
Oh,
okay, so some of the least important and number one
that's
at exchange.
That's right. You have to build up, right?
That's right.
You
I know.
You can't give the house away. Right.
I hear you. Oh, that's been my problem all along. I see how it is. Okay, so we're doing the seven wonders of exchanges.
Yes.
Because Martin is here and, you know, all that good stuff. Okay, so number seven. Your real world ceases to blah, 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 blah. Let me do that again.
All right.
Your real world ceases to be relevant. Dancing becomes your real world, and it doesn't matter what you do for a living.
Ah, I see.
Right?
It starts to take over your life.
Yeah.
Well,
so
I've always...
Like, is that like a one exchange a week? That's a lot. One a month? Where's the threshold there?
Well, so I'm thinking like when you go to an exchange, nobody really gives a flying, you know what, to what you do as your career. They just care about how long you've been dancing, what kind of dancing. So basically what I'm saying is everyone's on the same level.
Got it.
Yeah.
No, that's true.
Right? It's more measured on how long you've been dancing or how many like competitions you've won or how many years you've been teaching.
Yeah, I mean, it's just kind of a whole social weekend, right? It doesn't really matter. And people come from all over too, right? That's more the interesting part, more than like maybe what work you do or whatever. You're just trying to forget about work. But like this guy's from New York and then someone came from Boston, whatever, right? Like,
I always think it's interesting that like in your real world, like in your job, swing dancing is just like a hobby. It's like a side thing. But then when you're in it for a whole weekend, it's like that's actually your real life and your work is just kind of something you do to pay for your dancing.
Right.
Well, it makes sense. You know, the exchanges typically... Wow, you come in Friday night, late night, all starts at noon on Saturday, goes through another 24 hours, and then all you do is eat, sleep, and dance.
That's right.
Oh, it's crazy.
That's
the
right.
Monday morning is painful.
But it's painful.
You.
Yeah.
Well,
it is.
It's worth it. I'd say it's worth it. I don't know if it's good.
I like it. I like feeling like I've been dancing all weekend and my muscles are hurting. And I like that.
Well, it's more the sleep. I don't know. I'm getting old. So,
what did they do in Korea? Did they have the typical exchanges where they did go the whole weekend like that?
I'm not sure. Actually, when I was there, I didn't see that so much. I was actually in Korea itself. I was only there like a week and a half, so I didn't see too much of like that sort of thing.
Yeah,
I mean, I saw like the regular dancing, right, like the daily kind of stuff.
But, like the actual the exchanges you did go to, they were typical full weekend exchanges.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, they had, and it's interesting because it's a bit more like sort of back in the day or whatever, like when exchanges sort of started around here, the idea was to show off your scene to visitors.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a bit more of that feeling when I went to Asia, I found, because maybe people are already there that they haven't really seen the city yet and stuff like that.
Because
people would maybe come from further because there weren't as many places to go dancing. So, like, one of the exchanges was in Cambodia in the capital. And so, like, a Saturday during the day, then they had, like, a tour of the city and this sort of thing. And,
very cool.
And all the venues were, like, landmarks. Or not all of them, but, like, the places we were dancing a lot of the time were, like, significant places in the city.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of got to see what the city is like and that sort of thing.
Cool.
Yeah.
I like that part of exchanges, too. Like, I've done that where you just dance all the time, but it's nice to take a few hours to see the city.
For sure.
Yeah.
Actually, at that one, they had some dancing on like a ferry boat as well. That was really cool.
Oh, wow.
It's like that was a tourist thing. The city, Phnom Penh, is on a river. And so they have like river cruises and stuff like that. So that we had, it was supposed to be sunset, but I think it was cloudy, but it was probably like Saturday afternoon, like 5 until 7, that they rented an actual one of these cruise boats, which is basically like an open boat that has two stories. And they had a band playing on the main floor. And then on the top deck, they had like food and stuff out. So then you get to like see the river and just dance and hang out and stuff.
Oh, wow.
I did that one time in Ottawa. They had July 1st celebration. I was down there for there at Jimmy Prevost Drove, and Dave Trin was actually heading out to his first harangue.
Wow.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and it was just before he left, probably. Yeah?
Yes, on the river, on the boat, things to eat, band playing, and the fireworks blasting off.
Did they play Riverboat Fantasy?
I can't remember.
That would have been a while ago.
That would have been something like fermented into my brain. I'd be like, I remember that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Question number 6.
Number 6.
Thanks.
You no longer have a personal space bubble.
That tends to happen.
Yeah.
Especially after it starts to get like the second night of the exchange, and like you start to know everyone, and then.
Mm-hmm. But it's not just when you're dancing. It's like when you're not dancing too, everyone's cuddling and like making basically like a human pile of loveliness.
Holy smokes.
You've seen that before, Jeff, haven't you?
I can remember, you know, moving into somebody's house and there's like sleeping bags everywhere because everybody just whacked out and they're sleeping. I wouldn't know if they're a cuddle pile or not. But
do you remember the cuddle pile?
Well, I don't know if I can comment on that. But
no comment.
Yeah, there's definitely like, you get a whole kind of different view of your personal space after like the dancing in and of itself, but a lot of the times like what's the housing like for these things, that like you can get a hotel or whatever, but half of the time the best part is sleeping over with other dancers, like you know, staying at their house and mm-hmm. having them show you around town and stuff like that. And so a lot of the time the dancers will, you know, have 8 or 10 out of towners staying on their floor or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. And then you're really tight for space.
Did you ever go to Becky's place in Michigan? Becky, she had the beer o'clock.
No. I went to Michigan to a few people's places,
Ann Arbor,
but not her place.
Yeah, she always had at least like 20 people on her floor.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah, it was it was intense.
Oh, it was ridiculous sometimes. Yeah, one time, actually it was in Ann Arbor, one time we were in someone's attic.
Oh, yeah, I remember this story.
That was crazy. That was 2 years ago.
Yeah, that was Pirate Swing, I remember that. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I remember being in an attic, but it wasn't 2 years ago.
It
would have been.
Those, like, there was only 5 of us, I think, but.
Only 5.
It was a little interesting. Oh. So there was that one time we were in Toronto like 3 years ago, and there must have been like 16 of us staying over at their place or something. There was
how
like
how big was it?
Oh, it was not a big place. Like it was like a regular sized place for like the 3 of them or whatever that lived there.
Like an apartment or a house?
I think it was like a townhouse sort of thing.
Holy crap.
So it wasn't like a big house, but it had like 3 bedrooms or whatever, and there were like 5 guests or 6 sleeping in like the little living room. And then there was like a downstairs, actually I can't remember if it was a guy's bedroom or if it was like a larger, like a den downstairs, that we had like 11 people down there or something. Ridiculous, right? Like,
wow.
And then one other person in like the floor somewhere else, someone else's room.
Wow.
So it was kind of, anyways, personal space, right?
Jeff, Jeff, when you go on exchanges, do you stay in people's houses or do you get a hotel?
Yeah, I used to stay in people's houses. Now, the last one I was at would have been the same one in
Pirate Swing.
Yeah, in Ann Arbor. And we actually got a bed and breakfast for that one. And that was okay. I didn't mind that.
That's really nice to do sometimes. Yeah. Eh? Like, mm-hmm. Sometimes you just want some space.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, if it's a little extra expense, but it's okay once in a while to do that. But I wouldn't have any problem just piling up in house with a bunch of people.
Yeah.
You work hard, Jeff. You deserve a hotel every now and then.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, that's the great thing is you can, whatever way you want to go, you can do that, right?
But, yeah.
I know there have been exchanges where actually I visited like friends or family members, so I kind of didn't really stay at their place.
Mm.
I don't know if you guys ever done that. When you've been exchange, you've maybe met friends who.
It's a good idea.
You know. Most of us got friends who are non-swing dancers somewhere in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool. All right, number 5. On Friday night, you were pulling your best moves, but somehow by Sunday, your moves are simpler and just feel so frickin' good. So you know that feeling? I think we talked about this a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
It's kind of tying in. So, like, I don't know if you have found this, but on Friday night, people are really stiff and they really want to prove themselves.
But
by Sunday, everyone's like too tired to care, and it's like so much more chill. Do you find that?
Oh, for sure. Sunday is almost like the best part of the weekend in some ways.
I agree. Either it's a tie for me between Sunday afternoon and late night Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
It's a tie.
It's not that different, actually.
Yeah.
Because Saturday you might be up till 6 or something dancing, right?
Oh.
And then you maybe get up at 11 the next morning if it's to start like having breakfast and hang out with people and dancing maybe at 1 or 2 or whatever. Mm-hmm. So it's really like the same thing as the maybe that's why it is. I don't know.
Maybe.
Because like usually the late nights are pretty, you know, laid back, slow music and stuff.
Yep.
And then really people don't sleep much, and then they come back the next day and they kind of keep going with
that. Kind of the same feeling. So that kind of ties into the next one, and that is time seems to stand still, and night can feel like forever, but in the best way possible. So kind of tying in, like, the late night just feels like you've been here forever, but it's like an awesome feeling.
It's true.
It's number 4. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. it's going to be middle of the road. Sorry,
not as bad as 7, but not that.
Well, you know, this is okay. So when I was trying to put these in order, I was thinking, okay, I got to start with a good one and I got to end with a good one.
That's right. You can't be like pancakes.
The middle ones are going to be like, meh, they're forgettable. But, and I actually heard a study once where they said people remember what they study in the beginning and at the end. Yeah. So if you want to remember a lot of stuff, you have to take a lot of breaks.
I heard that too.
Should we take a... Did you?
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay.
For sure.
Right on.
I did not make that up at all.
So should we take a study break?
We could. So you're number 4, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm number 4. So we got 3 left for the next little stash there. Now, we have a choice here, Amy. You want to play one of your songs here by chance?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Okay, I've never done this before, and I'm not technically good, so we'll see how this goes.
We'll see. Oh, don't push that.
Okay. Oh, frick.
Just tell us what the song is before you go. And
oh, okay. yep, I can do that. It is it's by Sam Cooke, and it's, hold on here. It's called Bring It On Home to Me.
Okay, and why do you like this song, or you will tell us afterwards, maybe?
Yeah, I'll tell you afterwards.
Okay. All right, you go ahead and press the button there. I think it'll work.
Okay.
All right.
I only hurt myself. Hi, this is Jeff Benoit. You're listening to the Swingin' Blues Show. This is 100.3 Sound FM, CKMS Radio.
So just like that, that's how it sounds when you're all done. Well, we're back, folks, and boy, we're approaching the first hour of the show. My guests tonight are Amy Nyland and Martin Hansen.
Hey.
And we'll carry on with our seven wonders of exchanges. And Martin's had great experiences, having done two in his Asia tour. And
that's right.
Yeah. So lots of experience with swing dancing, and amongst all the other great things and sights and things you've seen. Miss Nyland.
Yes.
What is number three?
Number three is... Okay, so this is where it starts to get interesting again. people no longer have gender roles. It's either lead or follow.
Hmm.
Would you like to elaborate?
Me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, there's a bit of a thing in dancing, right? The guys are the lead, right? And the girl is the one who follows.
Right.
Which is like kind of the social norm.
Right.
But I guess in swing dancing in particular, other dancing too, but swing dancing... people kind of go away from that sometimes, or a lot of people like to learn both, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in the exchange that you kind of the exchanges, you start to get comfortable with people, and then people start to branch out a lot after, you know.
Yeah,
after
and
a little while
I find that girls tend to be a little bit more open-minded to dancing with other girls, but then the guys tend to They kind of follow suit eventually, but it takes a little bit more time for a guy, especially if a guy is dancing with another guy.
Well, it's a whole different thing. I mean, different in the sense that, like, the girls dancing with girls, a lot of the time, that almost comes from the fact that there aren't enough guys sometimes. And the girls just, like, don't want to wait around for in line for, like, the next guy to be ready, right? So that's partly where it comes from. But, there's other reasons too, but then a lot of the times the guys dancing with guys almost just like to get attention. You know what I mean?
Oh,
like...
yes. Well, you know what? I want to just make one comment. Matt Weeb, his swivels are fantastic. And you wouldn't think that they would be, right? Because he's a guy, but like his swivels are awesome.
That's iffy. I mean, I love watching him. Like,
I love watching
swivel. That can be.
I think it looks good. I think it's good. I think it's. But, yeah, it's just I find that when I'm at an exchange, I get the question, do you lead? Do you follow? Like a lot. Because I think people see me leading and then they're like, oh, there's another lead. It's like, oh, let's do this.
Yeah.
So no longer, it doesn't matter what your gender is.
It's that funny thing too, that even like at the local dances, then we almost have like a joke about like, for me, I'm a lead most of the time, like my main role normally. And so like I meet a lot of follows.
Mm-hmm.
But there can be guys that have been going to the same dances for like months and I have no idea who they are. Right. So I really meet like half of the group. So if you can do both then a lot of time socially, that's like actually nice.
That is nice. Yeah. I actually had the same thing when I started dancing was I knew all the guys, but the girls, I don't know. And
right. Even you'd be in the same class as them.
Yeah.
Right. And you wouldn't know them because you rotate through all the guys to practice. But like.
And you know nobody's names that are a follow. So you're like, hey, you. How are you finding the classes? Yeah. And then you try to ask, like, who's, you know, what's that girl's name? And who's that lady?
You just doing your own scat when you're trying to
do know. This is what you don't even know what goes on up here in my brain. It's a little.
It's getting late.
That's
what happens.
So that was number three, right?
Yeah.
Did you have anything that you wanted to comment?
No, I love this scene. Of all the dance scenes, you know, this is, you have the switch, you divide off, lead and follow in the technical terms. It doesn't have to be just men or women.
Mm-hmm.
I think then that just makes everybody a better dancer. And it's just, I think, so forward thinking when it comes to dancing that it's just a great scene to be part of.
Yeah.
I think the ballroom are very strict on the...
It can be. I think, especially in competition. Yeah. I mean, I don't know firsthand, but I've heard that in competition, you actually can't, right?
Really?
Like, it has to be the guys doing the lead role and the
you know,
follow.
I can understand that, though.
It makes me think of something. You know, you remember those, there's very various dance shows on, you know, not Dancing with the Stars, but there was another show, So You Think You Can Dance, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
And, boy, you know, they had... I think it was a gay couple, and so they switched. Two men were dancing. But you could, to my mind's eye, you could see very good lead, very good follow.
Mm.
Right.
Anyways, it led the judges to start talking about who should be, and most of the judges, I got to respect them, experienced dancers, were very sincere and said that the man must always be a lead, which I found disappointing coming from, I think, a more egalitarian and more fun switching of lead and follow here in the swing dance scene.
I can understand why they want to do men and women, because like ballroom is kind of like
expect it, I guess.
Well, that and like it's been around for a while. It's traditional, like ballroom especially is all about like tradition, right? Like rules, regulations. Mm. So it's not to say, you know, a guy can't follow, but I think it's just to try to keep up with that tradition and that, you know,
like fits in with that culture. Yeah, I guess in some ways. I mean, I can see it in some ways too, that like the movement comes from a certain body type. You know what I mean?
Yeah, girls do have a different center of gravity. So
yeah, exactly. And like the moves can emphasize, true, like in Lindy Hop, for example, you can like the movements that the leads do normally emphasize maybe the shoulder and stuff like this, mm-hmm. whereas the movement that the follow does a lot of the time emphasizes the hips and this sort of thing.
Yeah,
so
that's
true. The movements. I mean, doesn't mean you can't do the other one, but right. The movements kind of have a bit of that flavor to them, you know what I mean?
I like that. Yep, it's true. Yep. All right, number two. Number two. Okay. No matter how poor you are, you can always afford an exchange.
Hmm.
I know this firsthand. I remember I was, for those of you that don't know, I used to be a little poor little florist back in the day.
Now you're a rich florist, huh?
Now I'm a rich florist. No, right. Now I'm a rich something else. So that's cool. But anyway, I remember I would have like $20 in my account, but I would like save up for exchanges.
Yeah.
Like I would put away like $5-$10 away every, because it's like that made me so happy to go on exchanges.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Oh, it's great, like, for value, like, for
what you get for the money or whatever. Holy crap.
Like, well, that's true. Like, in a way, you could say they don't charge enough for exchanges because you just have a real riot, yeah. You know? Like,
don't say that. Well, careful what you say.
But, you know, I'll put it this way. You know, an exchange costs you $100. Well, I tell you what, folks, I don't know about you guys, but I spent $100 in stupider, more foolish ways than going to the exchange.
Oh, for sure.
Oh,
like,
my
for
gosh.
A whole weekend of, like, doing stuff.
Well, and especially when you stay at people's houses, you save money there. Yeah, I mean, you're getting driven around. Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
All right.
Phew. And now it's number one.
We'll do it now?
Oh, do you want it now? Do you want it now?
No,
do you want it now?
Let's just do it.
Do you want to wait for the... Okay.
The drum roll.
Here's... Okay. Are you ready?
Ready.
It's... Okay. So, Jeff, just like keep your... Just look beyond the comment and just... Yes. Okay, here we go. I'm just worried we're going to have a repeat of last week. Here we go. I don't want to talk about it. Okay. Number one. It's the only activity you can do all day and all night and still want more.
That's pretty racist.
That's true.
I said, remember, don't look at the comment. Think about beyond. I'm not talking about sex. I'm talking about dancing. It's the only thing you can do all day and all night and still want more. Hmm. It's true. Think about it. You can never get enough of it. Do you ever leave an exchange and say, I don't want to dance for another week?
Hmm. Well, that's a good point, though, that like a lot of the times these weekends you dance for like 30 hours or something in 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of it, how do you feel? Well, you're tired. But I mean, actually, people come back and they're like more energized. You know what I mean? It's like going to the gym or something.
Yes.
But for your dancing.
Lots of times, you know, we all come back from exchange and then you'll go to Monday night dance.
Yeah. You know, I remember doing that. All the time.
You know, just that you're tired, but you still want to dance.
See, it doesn't have to be racy. We figured it out.
I guess so.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, a lot of the times, like if we go to Montreal or something like that, like say we leave after work here, right? So we leave after work, say we're on the highway at 6, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you get to Montreal, dance all weekend, and you leave Montreal Sunday evening,
mm-hmm.
right? So you're getting back to Kitchener at like 2 in the morning,
mm-hmm.
right? And then you have to get up whenever at 7 the next morning to go to work and stuff. Right. You work all day.
Mm-hmm.
And then what do you do Monday night? You go dancing again, right?
Yeah.
Why? Well, I don't know. But
it's a wonder.
Yeah. I mean, you're tired, right? But...
Yep.
It's not like you've been sleeping all weekend.
Yeah. I don't know. There's either something wrong with us or, I don't know, it's a phenomenon. I think it's a phenomenon.
You could say that.
Phenomena. Boom, boom, da, da, da. I wish I had that song now.
Oh, that's phenomena.
I know I'm making a pun. That's what I do. Oh, have we never met before?
Phenomena.
Go again. Manamana. Da, 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 da.
Phenomena.
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
Nicely done.
All right. Now we're all on board.
Yeah. Well, thanks for those 7 ideas there, Amy. That's great. Maybe we'll play another couple of songs here. You want to tune up a song there?
Sure.
Tell our listeners what the other song was. Sam Cooke. Do you remember what it was?
Yeah, it was,
Maybe it's more important to say, why
Bring
did you
It
like,
On Home to Me.
And why did you like that song?
I like that song because of the echoing between the two vocalists.
Okay.
I feel like it has a nice, way about it. Good wave effect.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so you want another one?
Yeah.
You want me to hit you again?
Yeah, tell us what the...
Ooh, here's a good one. Yeah, here's a good one. Do you want me to tell you the name of the song before I play it?
Okay.
So it's, stop.
Pause.
That's Nina Simone something or other.
Nina Simone, I Want a Little Sugar in My Bowl.
Hmm.
Okay.
Talk mm-hmm. about racy.
Right? So yeah, shall I go ahead and press the play button?
You can. Maybe what we can do is, Martin, do you want to do a little promo for the station before we go to the song? And then when?
Oh, I don't have it ready yet. Can I do the next one?
You can.
I hope this pen's not cooperating with
me. Oh, that's not so much fun. All right, you're 1.3 Sound FM CKMS Radio, and this is the Swing Jazz and Blues Show, and your host is Jeff Steger with Amy Nyland and Martin Hansen. Go ahead there.
I want a little sugar in my bowl. I want a little sweetness down in my soul. I could stand some loving, oh so bad. I feel so funny, I feel so sad. I want a little steam on my clothes. Maybe I can fix things up so they'll go. What's the matter, Daddy? Come on, save my soul. I need some sugar in my bowl. I ain't fooling. I want some sugar in my bowl. So they'll go. What's the matter, Daddy? Come on, save my soul. I want some sugar in my bowl. I ain't fooling. I want some sugar in my bowl.
Hi, this is Martin Hansen from Waterloo, and you're listening to the Sweet, Sweet Swing and Blues Show on CKMS Radio, 100.3 Sound FM.
That's great. Thanks so much for doing that, Martin.
Oh, sweet. that was great. Nice.
I love that.
Sweet. Sweet, sweet.
Sweet, sweet.
Oh, that's a keeper for sure.
Yeah.
Good job.
So that was Nina Simone, and a very famous singer. you probably got a bunch more of her songs, too. You like that bluesy? Would you teach that song?
To the Blues 1 class we would, because with them it's a different timing.
Yep.
But that's a good one, that like late at night kind of song. We don't want to move too much. And it's got a lot of components you could work with.
Had a good feel to it.
Yeah.
So we had the seven things of exchanges. Was there anything? We covered a lot of material there. The exchanges are many things. So we talked about how much it costs to go to and the fun you're going to have. How many exchanges should a person go to if you're really into it? Is it one a month? I remember doing that once a month.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, for a brief time. Yeah.
I don't know. I think, yeah, that's a good question. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is to that.
I don't know. I guess as many as you can find if you're into it.
Yeah.
The question is sometimes like, I mean, the cost can be an issue depending how far you're traveling, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think also depending on who's going, you know, like,
oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, if you know like a bunch of people that you know are going and you know you're going to have fun. Like I remember one time, I don't know if you remember this or not, but I was getting a ride with Jeff and you were driving also. Like the three of us went and,
where was this?
We were going to Ann Arbor, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah. And I thought, you know, you weren't going to pick on me because you didn't know me very well. And I knew Jeff was going to pick on me and I thought you
would. That was back in like, yeah, that was my first summer here, 2005.
I thought for sure, because you were new, you're going to be nice to me.
I wanted to fit in, you know.
Yeah, but you know what? You could have fit in with me. You didn't have to fit in with him.
Oh, you still like me, Amy.
I know. Ah, this is the problem. I gotta start making fun of other people so that people want to get on my bandwagon.
That's right.
I don't know how to, though. I just know how to make fun of myself.
Well, but, you know, that's a good point, you know. Like, there's a lot of exchanges. Like, there's that kind of, as you just described, and I also know that I've just traveled with just a bunch of people who, you know, we just wanted to go dancing. They may didn't know each other that well, didn't have any, but it was just the same bus was going, right? The same car was going. And sometimes you combine it. I know I've went to exchange with a significant other and had a good time, and we combined other things with them. Like Ann Arbor was like that pirate swing.
Right. Mm. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So in that case, we just did some of the dances and then did other things too.
There was a couple things on that list that I had to take off too. Like, there were other components about exchanges that didn't make the cut, just so you guys are aware. So,
well, it's hard to get down to seven.
I know, right? So I had like 11 and I'm like, okay, I got to cut this down. It can't be the 11 wonders of exchanges. No. That doesn't have the same ring to it. So,
no. Well, I tell you what we should do. I probably should be rolling off a few announcements here before we get going and get these off the schedule here. So why don't you just read some of these up, and you guys hear something you like in it, let me know, and we'll have some fun with it. So we'll play a little background music here if our fans can hear it. This is some by Swing Set by Jurassic 5. Okay.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. You guys can hear that, I guess. Maybe not.
No.
Not on this end. That's right. All right. I know the song.
Yeah. So.
You're playing it in your head, eh?
That's right.
Yeah. It's kind of fun when I like it. I'm going to try something a little different here.
I don't hear it. I don't hear it in my
head.
You got
to picture it in your head.
In my mind's eye?
Well, yeah. You could have a listen on this thing if you want here, Amy. You could hear it.
That's all right. Amy's listening to Nina Simone still anyways.
That's true, actually. I am. I can't get it out of my head. That's true.
Well, here's a song. I haven't listened to it while I've been using those.
Okay.
So, what we got here, folks, is a couple of things real quick. Live jazz nights starting in September. There will be a new rate increase around the cost of that place starting September 3rd. The weekly classes are going. Amy has mentioned, of course, that we have the blues classes and the other West Coast swing classes and a whole whack of other ones I'll get to. We're always looking for help for our effort here in town. Boy, we need Monday night MC would be great. Some weekly swing dance instructors, swing dance performers for gigs, and West Coast swing dance coordinator. So if any are inclined to want to do something like that, that'd be great. It'd help out a pile.
That's the Hepcat Hoppers stuff.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, they're doing with the new studio there. It's been just a real treat to have all kinds of stuff on the go, so that you know, we have a huge variety of activities, and we're just lucky it stinks to do that.
Lucky a stink. Yeah. Lucky okay.
That's pretty lucky.
Sunday, July 29th, that's this weekend, is a jamming workshop with Roberta Hunt at Hepcat Studio. Topics include 12, 16 bar blues, call response chords, and voicing, and sometimes less is more. It's part of a whole song. Doing the Jive is Sunday, July 29th at the Hepcats West Coast Swing Dance Party. Oh, yeah, this weekend. West Coast Swing Dance Party with a late night.
Da 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 da.
Nice.
Where's the late night?
It's over at Kevin Perbu has opened up his phone.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, that's like right by the studio, too.
Yeah,
that's a good way to do it.
Yeah, that's true. It's like 10-minute walk.
Yeah, I wouldn't need that much, would it? Yeah, that'd be great. And that's over on 51 John Street. And folks, thanks for already ahead of time for Kevin opening his home like that. Mm-hmm. Late nights can be a lot of fun after any dance event. Also, I'd just like to mention to folks that some of the principal opera owners and operators of the Hepcat Hoppers are celebrating their time together with a hand binding ceremony on Friday, August 3rd. And go on the website and have a look at that. Hand binding is an older tradition of a commitment of love to each other. And you would be just, I think, charmed all the bits to see that. So.
And Dave's going to be in bare feet as I
hear.
Yeah,
that's kind of neat, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm finding a little boat kind of things doing this. So that's going to be a lot of fun and good for them. So, of course, there's the mentioned the jamming workshop and doing the Jive. Dancing in the Park. Yay.
Yay, Dancing in the Park.
They're still rolling along, and I need to get out there Tuesday night. But, boy, you know, we're going to Monday dancing, and Wednesday do DJ, and Thursday we're doing this. So Tuesday would be something maybe to stay home once in a while. But we'll make sure we get out there, because I've had a lot of fun out there. I think you all have.
Well,
you started there, right? And Amy's
house. That was the first dance I went to in Waterloo. Was in Waterloo Park. Yeah. So that's free, too, and whatever. It's really nice out. So
Just a lot of fun there.
Yeah.
Jazz Room is open, and that's at the Hoother Hotel. And these are all past dates here. So that's Swing Dance Party at West Coast Swing Dance, and just motoring along through our friends down there at Toronto still have their swing dances on Saturday nights.
Oh, the Dover Court.
Dover Court.
Yes.
Long time.
What is that?
Jeez.
Oh. And for people who have it, Lindy Stock is on next weekend at Oxtongue Lake, Ontario. But I think that's all sold out. But you could maybe give the principals a call and see if they might have a last minute.
That's a big one.
Yeah.
Speaking of doing events every weekend.
Yeah, you've done that before, didn't you?
Not that one, actually. But I've done other Toronto stuff. Yeah. Although this is not technically in Toronto, they do it up. Now it's kind of close by Algonquin, I think.
Yeah, Oxon Lake. I guess that's the old Funkin' Wagnalls out here to find out where that is. The old Mercator Atlas or something.
the what now?
Mercator. I'll just shut up and do these. Rhythm Ramble, September 14th to 16th, the Swedish Meatballs edition in Toronto. And these are great swing dancers from Sweden. Lennart Westerlund, Iwa Burak, and Daniel and Asa Hedman.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen them before. They're just talented, like to no end. Victoria Lindy Exchange is coming up, and...
Victoria.
Shut this out. Well, yeah, that's your part of the world. Harang is just going to be... Well, it's a whole month, I think, right? It must be ending in...
Harang is probably...
Finishing.
Next week, or maybe this week would be the last week, actually, in Harang. Or next week. I don't know if they do 4 or 5 weeks.
I think it's this week. I think it's just a month. Yeah. Or is it 5 weeks and you sign up for four?
Well, they've had 4 weeks of classes sometimes, and they expanded it to five. But I don't know if they stuck with that. So, anyways.
A couple last things here before we get... They need to play another song, I think. Jazz Dance Film Festival at Seattle Indie Exchange Team, Seattle, Washington. Contest ends August 2nd. And so, www.jazzdancefilmfest.com if you want to send in a film. Oh, here's one, Martin. This is the Jeju Island, Korea.
Oh, Jeju Island.
Yeah.
That's in September or something?
Yeah, September
7th. There's a swing dance festival or something like that. Yeah, I met the organizer of that.
Okay. It's a weekend of workshops and social dancing, and Facebook search Jeju Swing Camp for more information. Oh, yeah. And also Labor Day weekend will be Swing Out New Hampshire. Oh, here's mention here. Okay.
Yeah.
Here's Cologne Lindy Exchange, August 30th to September 3rd. Dancing and guided tour through the Chocolate Museum.
Less with the dancing, more with the tour.
Here's one that's close by. It's the Rhythm Shuffle in Buffalo, New York.
Every September.
Yeah. No, I think we went down there one time. What time did we all go down there?
I can't remember. We've been down a few times, I think, right?
They were just starting to get their scene going. I think we went down for a blast, you and I and Dave.
Went maybe 3 years ago or something. Time flies, eh? Four years?
It's 4 or 5, Martin, I'm sure.
That's crazy.
I was busy. I had other things on the go for the last 4 or 5 years, so I didn't get in really to see much. But that was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Oh, they're featuring Nick Williams and Sylvia Sykes. Excellent teachers.
Oh, they're good for sure.
And one last one here is the Cleveland Lindy and Blues Exchange, September 21st to 23rd. Good time of the year. Won't be too hot. Hopefully this has been a hot summer, and maybe by that time it'll be back to something a bit more moderate, I hope.
Crazy hot.
Oh, it's too much. So,
hey, did you have the Kitchener Blues Festival on that list, or we talk about that later?
Yeah, you know what?
Oh, the Kitchener Blues Fest. Yeah. Yes.
Was that like, are you trying to be sarcastic?
No, I love it. No, the next song I'm going to play is actually someone that's played at the Blues Fest. The Blues Fest. No, I'm not sarcastic. I come across very sarcastic because I'm actually that excited. Yeah. Seriously.
Yeah, you know, they didn't get put on here. You know, that's funny because, that's there are going to be some great, there's some guys I want to see. I got
Mahal. Every year it's amazing.
Bobby
it's
Blue ridiculous. Bland. I've got some great stuff. I just love to play his
Colin stuff. James is here. And
what?
Yeah, I think so, isn't it?
Yeah, on the opening night. That's when you got to pay for it. It's their fundraiser part of it.
Okay.
How much is it? Do you know?
Without looking the website, which I couldn't, but I don't.
I'm guessing maybe about 40.
Yeah.
Okay.
Other it years be. It's been. I don't know if it's.
That sounds about
but
right.
But then it's not a huge crowd either, which is kind of nice.
They're going to be in the. They put that huge tent up in the Victoria Park now, and I think that's where they're going to put that one. But we often have a lot of fun just heading out later at night, not at the main stage, but to a smaller, like I think they're at the Douglas Watson, one of our favorites, is going to be the Rum Runner Pub, which is up at the corner of Queen and King Street. In that building.
Oh, yeah.
So there's so much going on. It's something hard to keep track, and I know people want to go as a group, and where do you show up and what do you do?
Oh, so many people out. It must be like one of the biggest events in town, eh?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If not the biggest. Yeah. Like, it's huge.
The Jazz Festival was great last week and had a lot of fun there, but there's just, triple the number of shows and talent there.
Yeah.
So, Amy, you got another song for us, sir?
Yeah, so this is Cheryl Lescom.
Yeah.
It's High Heeled Blues.
Yes, I've heard that before. Yes. Please press the go button and we'll be right back.